when I came to this ministry, I didn't know about really the real meaning of grace. I have a natural understanding, and in many denominations that I have been, that grace is something that God gave us, or that's for us, to save us. So this is the only simple and natural understanding that we're saved by grace. I think in Christianity everybody knows that, right? But this is a very small and the significance of what grace is. But when I came to this week, this book, The Grace of God in the Economy of God, I realized that grace is much more than that. It's something great, extraordinary, amazing. Okay, so grace is God Himself. And if we can read together the title in week 5, receiving grace upon grace, for grace to be thrown within us, so that we might reign in life, to become God's point, the new Jerusalem, as the ultimate and consummate product of the grace of God in His economy. Amen. And maybe we can read John. John 1:16 is on the day. No, actually, it's on day 4. Yeah, you're right. For his fullness,
we have all received
grace upon grace. Hallelujah! Grace upon grace.
Amen.
Amen. And let's read. You know, the New Testament economy start with grace and end up with grace, right? Revelation 22:21, right? And he says in John 1:17 that the law came through Moses, but grace and reality through Jesus Christ, right? So grace actually, it's not God, what God made or give us, is the trying God Himself. And really, I really appreciate this message, because before I never knew about that. I just thought that I was saved by grace. That's what I thought before I came to the ministry. And now with this week's message, everything is clear now. And actually, this grace is for God's economy. God's grace is for God's economy. And we really need to see that the Lord give us grace upon grace, you know, every day in our life. So we really need to ask the Lord, oh Lord, thank you. I need more grace every minute, every second of our life. We need grace upon grace. You know? And
took a mirror in the back.
And day one is actually telling us that in order to receive grace, we need to come to the throne of grace. Right? We need to come to the throne of grace for timely help. Right? And we can receive mercy and find grace for timely help. This is the connection between, I was reading that also this our spirits are the entrance to heaven. Right, the ladder, the heavens, and heavens brought to the earth through grace, and this is really, it really taught me a lot that we can call Him all the time, right? And we can call Him in our spirit because He lives in our spirit; it's inside of us. And you know, I ask sometimes some brothers, some Christians from denominations, where do you go to call the Lord, to pray? And they say, I go to a place, I go to a room. I said to them, why don't you go to the Spirit? You know, that's why the Lord gave us grace to Him for our enjoyment, right? But not only for our enjoyment, but for God's economy, the building up of the church, right? And this is why we need to really see that. And also in day two, it talks about in Romans 2, the main purpose of the record Genesis is not to show the fall, but to show how much God Christ can do for fallen people. So in the times of Noah, everything was bad, right? Everything was so degrading, and I believe we're, after sharing with my wife, I think we're even worse. We're even worse than the times of Noah, right? So we always in constant fighting against Amalek, right? And this is one thing that is not easy to talk about, the flesh. You know, when we're talking about the flesh, we're not only talking about the loss of the flesh. We're also talking about a lot of things that are on the flesh in 2 Timothy. You know, and the last days, many will be lovers of many things, pleasure, money, enjoyments, and all the things. All this comes from the flesh. And when I was young, I loved my flesh, and I loved the flesh. But when it came to the church life, I don't love the flesh anymore much, but I still listen to the flesh. And this is the problem, that even though we came to the church life, we still listen to the flesh. And we can't get rid of the flesh. The flesh is for us until we die. But why did the flesh... See, I think Brother Lee, he asked the Lord to take away the flesh. And he said, no. You see, no matter what we do, he can't take away the flesh. If we wouldn't have the flesh, we would not come to the Lord. There would not be coming to the Lord, we will not be actually crying out to Him, you know, for mercy and peace. Grace is mercy and peace. Grace is Him Himself. He's the Word. The Word is the grace also. That's why we need to come to the Word every morning. We need to pray. That's grace. All this is grace. So we need to really ask the Lord to help us to really see Him as grace and to come to Him as grace, and we know that His grace is in us. So in terms of the fight with Amalek, you know, for many years I've been fighting against my flesh. Recently I've been giving up. I can't fight with my flesh no more. I just ask the Lord for more grace, more abundant grace, because especially for young people it's not that easy, you know. If it wasn't easy for David, I don't believe that easy for the young people, especially for, I believe it's not that easy for our sisters, because I know sisters know that we men like the flesh, we're weak in the flesh, you know, and you can see that all over now in the world. And, you know, but the thing is that if we're really honest and genuine with the Lord, we can ask Him to fight for us against Amalek, which is the type of the flesh, you know, but the flesh cannot be only, you know. In the world, a lot of women are worried that the man or the husband look at other women, you know. A brother Ed who passed away actually told me once, I think I shared it before, he told me, you know, brother, all the men are going to look beautiful women. But the problem is not for looking at a woman with the first look. The problem is doing it with the second look, you know. And so this is one thing. Brother Ed really was a good brother. His memorial was yesterday. And he was a brother that really showed me a lot of things. And one day he asked me, you know, why he asked me, he told me, what is that keep us together? And I said to him, I was recently coming to the church and I said, love. He said, not really. It's not love. What keep us together is the Spirit. It's the Spirit. So grace is for us to experience all the enjoyments and the richness of Christ. You see, Christ is so rich. He's love, life, righteousness, holiness. He's everything. He's like a brother said, he's like a buffet. A buffet where you can eat all you can, all you want, right? So we can come to Him, thanks by grace, and come and eat all this, you know, experience all this richness in our spirit. So, and flesh not only is that, but flesh is sometimes, I know some sisters and some like to go, even the flesh is in our, and what we eat. Sometimes my flesh tells me, go and eat that. My flesh wants me to eat sweet. I'm not supposed to eat sweet because I'm a pre-diabetic. But my flesh says, oh, that looks good. Eat it, get it. Or sometimes sisters go and just get it, buy it, shop around, do this, do that, right? This is the flesh, not only for men to look at a girl or something, but it's because men were weak in the flesh, like David. I mean, Solomon is one of the big examples. But we need to really be honest. And there's so much outside that will distract us from the enjoyment of the grace of God, that we need to really come to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. And so the flesh is against God, which is Satan himself, the flesh. So he's his biggest enemy. So we can experience the Lord as our increasing and all sufficient grace in the midst of suffering and trials. You know, we go through a lot. We're going to go through a lot of trials, a lot of sufferings in our life. We went through and we're still going through, and we're not going to stop running to the last days, you know, because we live in an evil world. So don't get surprised. I don't get surprised when see things, and my students tell me all the time, oh, do you see that? How bad is this? How bad is that? I said, well, I don't get surprised. We live in an evil world. So we're going to be attacked every day. We're going to be sick. But the purpose is not that grace is for us personally to get healed or to get fine. It's not something for our own benefit. Grace is for God's economy. Amen. To build up the church. The Lord wants His body. And His body will be built up by the trying God who is grace Himself. So we need to come to Him no matter in the tribulation times, no matter. Actually, all these tribulation and trials we go through are for us to come more for grace. Ask the Lord, I need your grace in this time of sorrow. I need your grace in this time of trial. And I'm always asking, Lord, you know, I didn't know how to pray before. Now with this, I know. This is a prayer here that says, you know, let me see, where is the prayer? His brother was, used to say, I think it was Winnie Flea or Watchman Nee. His prayer was, Lord, I am here. I need your grace. I'm not coming to ask you to give me good things. Sometimes we ask things that grace is things that He gave us materially. No, He says, I come here not to give me good things. I'm coming to find grace to meet you, to meet my need. Lord, I cannot work or to school or department store without your presence. Lord, I need you to stand with me. Come to be my strength, Lord. Uphold me and sustain me. You know, if we have grace, if we really have the grace of Christ in us, and we ask for God, the more grace, we'll be able to deal with our wife, with our kids, with our neighbors, with our classmates, even with non-believers. When they see grace, they want that grace. They're going to feel they need that grace. When they see grace coming out of you, don't you think they want that? You know? So this message is really very, very touching, and I hope you can spend. You know, there is a lot of things we need to come to the throne of grace, you know, because it's for God's economy. I hope you spend more in this. There's a lot over here that you can share. And praise the Lord for this message. Grace in God's economy.
To serve at the high school summer school trip, so I speak a little bit from that side. It was so enjoyable to see the young people again in person after 2 years of being online, and especially personally encouraging as the group that I had followed in the past 5 years are now here in their next year to TA for the first time. So this is such an encouragement that the ones that I was learning how to serve are now ones who are serving alongside. Me. So the topic for this year was the two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit. And one of the final messages was regarding kind of the flowing out. So the mingled spirit and being filled in spirit. And one of the final points says, this filling is not only for your nourishment, it is for you to dispense. Speaking is generating, speaking is imparting, speaking is dispensing. And the brother was very burdened in this aspect of when people have the opportunity to speak to you and to talk to you, then do their inner thirsting, are they able to be watered, or do they continue to be thirsty after they speak to us? So we need to be believers where thirsty ones come to us and their thirst is quenched, and that they don't become more thirsty. So we need to give ourselves to be ones to satisfy the thirst of others. And this can only come by our spending time with the Lord and being filled in our spirit. And then for us not to quench the spirit, but in our speaking, even in our day-to-day interactions, we will be those who water others. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. So, yeah, I also just want to share on that. SSOT, medicine students served Monday and Tuesday and came back Wednesday. And they were very grateful they went. You know, on the way, they go in there, they did not think of that too much. When they came back, they really, you know, reluctant to coming back because they feel a lot of joy. By serving there. I think it's a serving there is just interacting with these young people. Yeah. So like today, this morning, what I experienced is I also enjoyed preparing the food with the saints. Yeah. Actually, in the physical ability, I consider my is the slowest one in cutting the saints. I know, other brothers, so they're doing much faster than me, but I had my portion, when somebody say, oh, you come to help, I can render my help, right?
Amen.
So it was great. I mean, in terms of the spirit, I think my experience, the God spirit only operates when the human spirit are interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, the most pivotal place is the lonely spirit. As long as our spirit we present, right? It does not have to be, we don't have to be, a strong or capable one. But we need to have a genuine spirit we present to the Lord. And the Lord will use different spirit to work together. And by working together, that's the Lord's spirit will show. So I think that's the beauty and the power of the Lord's Spirit.
Amen.
So I really enjoyed this. And also speaking the SSOT, it's not necessary like the young people will gain. They will gain fundamental truth. But at their age, it's more important. They had this kind of life to interact with the saints. One thing very encouraging to me is I thought my son's, the most important thing for him is video games. I had a very strong I only dare to pray to the Lord, say pray for him, because I even don't believe whoever has the power to break that one. When he came back Friday, he talked to me. He really surprised me. He said, oh, it's a lot of fun. I said, oh, even is it funner than your video games? He said, yes, funner. So it's really encouraging me. And he asked me, oh, do we have a similar one in the fourth time? I said, no, so far not. The next one is spring one. But that's really encouraging me.
Yeah.
When I in my small group, when he come down for the dinner, I typically try to talk to him. But that's really encouraging me. So I think that God has the power, right, to do this.
So, yeah, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Just like some of us were sharing, I was also there at that SSOT. And it was my first time actually joining this time here in the East Coast. And it was just so sweet. The matter of our spirit being mingled with the Spirit of God. And I just really enjoyed this week too. And actually one of the pictures that caught my attention during this week was the picture in Exodus 17. I have read Exodus before, but I don't think I have read it, you know, with the praying and sustaining Christ in view, as it was mentioned here. So I don't know if some of us know the story, but here it shows how that Amalek were fighting Israel. And so Moses told Joshua that he should go and pick up some men, right, to go to the battle. But while Moses was up in the hill, he was holding the staff, right? And that means that whenever his staff would go up, that means God is prevailing, right? And then when the staff would go down, that means that Amalek were prevailing. And I don't know why, but when I saw the picture, I was like, that must be so exhausting. And we know that when God says something like, I mean, when God helped David in many of the battles, and he was helping the children of Israel in many of the battles, we didn't see that part. We always thought, and they won, you know, and they just keep on winning, right? But on this one, we see the need of prayer. So Galatians, also on the footnote, it says that Amalek typifies warlike. So there's always a fighting. And he was talking about our flesh, how our flesh can never improve. It can never change. And therefore is always, right, in enmity with God. And so Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these oppose each other, that you would not do the things that you desire." So I was just very encouraged that, you know, although our flesh will always be in us, there is also a positive side for this. That means that we must also always be depending on Christ. That we must always be turning to Christ, because our flesh would always be against God. If we were to just be people that were good, maybe there would be no need, right, to turn to the Lord. We think that we're good in ourselves. But there's always a need. And so we always are fighting against Amalek. But that's why we need the interceding Christ. And so we see that when Moses was up at the top of the hill holding the staff, that's like Christ standing up, standing for us. And so he is interceding. So while Moses was up there interceding in prayer for the children of Israel, Christ is also interceding and praying for us. But it's not only that Christ is the only one interceding and praying for us, but also we as the ones on the fields, on the battlefield, should also be interceding with Christ. Right. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died, and rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." So I was just very encouraged that the Lord is praying for us, and he's interceding for us, but he also needs us to be interceding. So we must always be in prayer, because whenever our flesh comes out, then all of that is in vain. It's nothing for the Lord to gain. But when we are in the Spirit, the Lord can do many things in us. Amen. And I just wanted to read one of the footnotes in Exodus 17:12. It says that as the one praying on the mountaintop, Moses typifies Christ. But as the one whose hands became heavy, Moses represents us. This signifies that while Christ is praying in the heavens, we too need to pray on the earth. Because the flesh never changes or improves, in order to prevail against the flesh, we need to pray without ceasing, joining ourselves to Christ in his intercession. However, and this is the part where it says that when Moses got tired of switching hands, he had, you know, them helping Aaron, helping him, like, put a stone under, right, for him to sit. And then they were lifting his hands with him because he became tired. So this means that the stone, a solid base for our prayer life, refers to our realization that in ourselves we are weak, and we need Christ to be our support. So Aaron, the high priest, signifies the priesthood, and Ur, who was of the tribe of Judah, signifies the kinship. So it's a tiring battle. It's an ongoing battle. But the Lord says that, you know, he will continue to intercede for us and fight for us until Amalek is blotted out, meaning it's utterly destroyed. And for all of this, we need God's grace. And to have God's grace is not just when we are in problems, But God's grace first is an enjoyment for us. So first we come to the Lord, turn to our spirit, enjoy Him as grace, and then He supplies us to overcome all of these situations. So praise the Lord that we have that interceding Christ who is fighting for us.
Yes.
But He also needs our cooperation and prayer. Amen.
Amen.
I also joined the SST, the high school, Summer School Truth. And I'm just so thankful that these young people get to hear these things at such a young age. It's pretty funny. Like, I literally went to the training for 2 years, and some of the things that they were speaking, it's like, I've never, like, seen that, like, in some level of detail before. Anyways, there's one brother who was sharing John 7:38 through 39. Some of us are familiar with it, where it's like the Lord said, if anyone drinks of me, by no means thirst forever, but the water that I will give him will become... We always point to that as the Spirit coming into us, which is true. But the wording that the Lord specifically said is, the water will become in him a fountain of water springing up, or will become rivers of living water.
Amen.
It will come out of us. The rivers are not just in us, but it will even flow out to others. Amen. And so anyways, there's a lesson that I really appreciate. It's called The Human Spirit and the Difference Between the Spirit and the Soul.
Amen.
So, you know, we might ask ourselves, like, oh, we hear these matters about the human spirit all the time, but why does it seem like I'm, maybe my enjoyment's, like, really low, or maybe, like, my living has not been touched, like, many different things? And the answer is that it's really hard to tell the difference between the spirit and the soul sometimes, because according to Hebrews 4:12, the spirit is actually the innermost part of our being. So it's actually within our soul. And it needs to have the dividing of the Word of God to be clear that what is the Spirit and what is the soul. And so there's one point that says, with a purified conscience, open spirit, pure heart, sober mind, loving emotion, and submissive will, there will be a flow of the Lord within your whole being. The leading part of our spirit is our conscience. Kind of like, they use the example, like if you're walking and you bump into a wall, the first thing that will hit that wall is your nose. Because it's the most it's a really silly example, but it's the most prominent part of your being. The most prominent part of our spirit is our conscience. So anyways, there was a lot of things to share to the young people, but we wanted to really impress them. If you really want to know your spirit, you have to take care of your conscience. And we just, like, you know, in small groups, we kind of say, like, okay, has there been, like, any offenses, like, between your parents, your friends, or whatever? And we really found that as the days went on, as we kept speaking, helping them, they got more and more released by the end of the week. Maybe before, there was like some blockages in their being, and they're just like, oh, whatever, I don't even want to be here. I don't care about this. But then by the end, like, maybe like half, two-thirds of the young people, I think in the junior high too, like two-thirds of the young people, they lined up to speak. And it's just like, more people were standing up to speak than were even sitting down listening. That's just how much they were enjoying that time. But it was because they dealt with the blockages in their being. So anyways, we were just praying so much that the young people, they wouldn't just have this once every, like, year or once every half a year, that only then you need to deal with the blockages in your being. But now we have a regular habit of taking care of our spirit, the functions of our spirit, especially our conscience, so that the relationship between our heart and our spirit, as our heart is the organ to love the Lord, to express the Lord, our spirit is to contain and receive the Lord. But if we don't take care of our heart and our spirit, then we cannot flow out, according to John 7:39. So anyways, I was speaking, as we were hearing this, I was pointing this all to myself, like, Lord, I want to maintain the pure flow between you. I want to have unhindered fellowship between me and you. And I really pray that this would be all of our experiences.
Amen. Amen. When I reviewed this week's message, I think in the past 45 days, I feel that I actually traveled most of the time. So I'm really happy to be back. And just like brothers and sisters share, this morning I was really happy to see brothers and sisters, you know, in the kitchen, to experience grace together. So I was thinking that, you know, for these past 5 weeks, this book, A Morning Revival, when I reviewed the message, I was very touched by a brother's sharing about the four points of the banner. And actually they are about the content of the past 4 weeks. So the first week was about the grace of the spirit of grace, or the grace of God, the definition. So I think we were reminded that grace is not something outward, or it's not only something outward, but also, you know, the inward increase of the Lord, or, you know, we turn our spirit to the Lord. And then the second point is about our living. So I think the message mentioned about the total living, like, is not just, you know, like at a meeting or, you know, one event, is actually our total living, our day-to-day life. And the third one is the multiplication of grace. So, so not only we enjoy His grace, He must increase in us so that the grace is multiplied, right? And then number four, I was really touched by the brothers sharing that actually the grace of God has a purpose, has a goal, has a consummation. So it's not like, you know, we are just enjoying the Lord for our own purpose. It's actually for the Lord's interest. And I do want to say something about, well, I know that my niece is not here, so it's not probably, but I think that she does not mind I share a little bit about it. Brother mentioned about video game. Actually, my niece, she was an expert on video game. And but you know, this time she visited us because she is going to graduate from a UK college. So she mentioned that actually, you know, in high school she failed English, and she only, I think, you know, like only got like 40 out of 100, something like that. So she totally gave up school. But then there is a turning point. Her mom actually turned to the Lord. She said that before she had a lot of arguments with her mom, you know, because of school, because of, you know, everything. But then her mom turned, and then when she saw her mom's, you know, turning to the Lord, she started to turn to the Lord. So she went back to the church life. And one day she was playing the video game, and I actually don't know anything about video game. Now it's really international, global. So she lived in Taiwan, but you know, her like co-players, they were like in Australia, you know, like UK, United States, everywhere. So one night they wanted a person to be able to translate the instructions into Chinese. So remember that she failed English, so she did not know how. But just because she liked to play video so much, so she spent the whole night, 8 hours, you know, to translate that document. But then after that, I think that the turning point is this. I don't want to promote video games. But then later on, she found out English is very important. So actually, that because of that, she said that, how about I went back to school. And then now, you know, I think probably Kyle can testify. Probably now she does not play that much video games. But I really think that, you know, for a lot of things, a lot of environment, you know, circumstances, we ourselves, we won't be able to, you know, we will not have any solution. But we just don't know how the Lord would, you know, do it. I think when she shared it with me, I was like, what are you talking about, you know? Like you went to UK only because, you know, you found out that English is so important. But then, you know, that's what happened. So I just think that, but I do want to say, actually, behind the scene, we all pray for her. you know, the whole family. So I think that for many of our kids, our children, I think we can say a lot.
Amen.
But I think it's really our daily living.
Amen.
I think we need to have that kind of daily living to bring our next generation
Amen.
To the church
Amen.
Life. Amen. To experience the real, I don't know how to say that, the real experience of grace.
Amen. I just follow up with Sister Burden. This book, The Grace of God in the Economy of God. We know that from this spring, the Chinese conference, right? There's a five message. The original message 1, 2, 3 is from 1992. Chinese conference, February 15th. Oh, the grace was, that's 30 years ago, right? 1992. I used to have a summertime meet the Grace Grandma. We have a morning revival on the mountain. But for the third generation, they hear, wow, why you bring this 30 years ago? Those message, conference. And for this year, Chinese conference. But message 4 and message 5 is totally different. That's a new message. Because those Facebook branding brother, they collect Brother Lee's book. Then they continue to have a burden. So the message 4 talk about Peter, Apostle Peter, how he experienced grace. Wow. Dear brother and sister, this is really health. You know Peter, why he write the first Peter and the second Peter? Who received those letters? Who received those letters? He say, you see the chapter, first Peter chapter 1, verse 1. You already tell. Who received those letters? Is a surgeon. Separated those suburbs. Oh, after Jesus Christ already sacrificed, already crucified. So after 30 years, he wrote that one to those surgeons. What is surgeon? We have no idea. But I tell you, surgeon means today is 2022. Very famous. Always come out. Surgeon means a refugee. Now you understand? Huh? Refugee. We hear a lot of things about a refugee. During this 2022, after the February 24, Russia invaded Ukraine, our ministry bring this update message for us. Won't help us. Amen. That is really help. Because the only Peter and Paul, when they doing the apostleship, doing their business, you see, only these two brothers mention about the suffering. Suffering. You see, during this suffering time, I was with the brother Tom. We used to have, always talk something else. But right now, everybody changed. He say, Brother Joe, can we pray read? And we start pray read. I really enjoy. I will present. Then, this is the page, you see we talk about the key statement. I know all the brothers and sisters, you're still young. You see, I don't want you to waste this book. Can you read? You have this book?
Amen.
The
key
statement. Key statement. Key statement. Three. That's three. I really enjoy this song. Okay? We can read. Grace is Christ as our burden bearer. And it is multiplied to us through our suffering, limitation, and weakness. The more
Sister, can you read one more time? Sister?
Grace is Christ as our burden bearer, and it is multiplied to us through our sufferings, limitations, and weaknesses. The more burdens we have, the more opportunities we have to experience Christ as grace.
Father, amen. Grace
is Christ as our burden bearer, and it is multiplied to us through
our suffering, limitations, and weakness. The more burden we have, the more opportunities we have to experience Christ as the grace. During the regular time, we enjoy the Apostle John mentioned the Gospel, chapter 1:16. From all the fullness, we receive grace upon grace, right? That means the grace and some grace during the regular time. But during the suffering time, Apostle Peter is very special. Talk to us his experience. He says, multiply. As in multiply. We know the Mass, the tongue. Brother Tom is very special, major to the Mass. We have a regular time. It's grace upon grace. It's great and grace. But during your suffering time, difficult time, is a grace multiplied grace, brother and sister. Wow. Well. Huh. Don't complain more suffering. Don't complain the limitation. Be complain your weakness. That time's your opportunity to experience the double time grace. Multiplication. That's our Apostle Peter experience.
Right.
Wow.
Amen.
How can I encourage our brother Tom? During we are praying, brother and sister, we pray that the Holy Word, wow! He got encouraged, he said, I cannot take a chemo anymore. But hallelujah! I enjoy the war. Amen. Only those words encourage us.
Amen.
We almost finished this book, but this one I present to you. When you see the brother and sister, we all have weakness. We have suffering. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Enjoy the Lord. Amen. That can build up together. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. I want to follow Brother Joe. Grace is Christ is our burden bearer. So there's a story or illustration that reminds me. This week actually Melody shared to me like a long time ago. It's a short story. It's a man working with the Lord on the beach and worked for a long time. And for a certain moment, the men looked back, the way they had passed through. Usually, we have two pair of footprints, right? But surprisingly, they only had one pair of footprints. Why? It's because the men realized that the Lord carried him, walked all the way through. So in our life experiences, have you ever found that some difficult time when we look back, actually, it's the Lord carry us through all the difficult times, the hard times. The Lord is our burden bearer. The story is so sweet because, some of you may know, Melly and I are very busy recently, and sometimes we have burden, anxious, nervous, a lot of things to do. But when I listened to this message, Brother Manoro, he shared that when he was preparing this message, he's somewhat struggling, has some burdens, don't know how to share, but the Lord shined upon him. He needs to enjoy the grace. Whenever we are struggling on our own, whenever we are trying to work hard on our own, then we miss the opportunity to experience grace. Because Christ is our burden bearer. I enjoy the verse on day 5, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses than the power of Christ, my tabernacle over me. Really enjoy that when you just simply turn to the Lord, turn to our spirit, enjoy the Lord as our good land, and everything will be fine. So, this time, Melody and I really be reminded that we need to pray together. We need to get into the Word together. And even though we still, in practically, have something to work on, to
to do, but inwardly we need to find peace and rest in the Lord, and we don't want to miss this opportunity, because the grace is not only for our own. The grace is for God's economy. Only by the grace, all of us can be transformed into God's image, and so that He can come back. So, yeah, praise the Lord for His grace. He is our burden bearer. Amen.
Amen.
Thursday says, Satan was glad to hear that God was going to destroy man from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That turned the situation and changed the age. Hallelujah. God was not defeated in the midst of the apparent defeat. There was a victory through a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That was the turning point. Oftentimes, like the saints shared, I was not from the beginning, but in a recent month, we all experienced, you know, some dear saints, they are experiencing their health, you know, challenge, and they are in the, you know, suffering from that. And we pray, the whole church, all the saints, you know, even all, you know, on the earth, you know, are praying for the dear saints to be recovered and to be healed. And we ask for the grace. And the saints who are suffering, they are experiencing the grace day by day. Oh, it's a big thing, or we have some big things, you know, coming up to us, and you know, we seek for the grace, and we, Lord, you know, be my grace. But oftentimes, I was reminded this way, especially after enjoying all these words, I lost grace very easily and quickly in a daily small thing. For example, I hate, you know, when someone in my home, they their socks, you know, was another way to put in the bucket, and the scissors, when they use it, there's still something, you know, on the scissors, you know, not clean, still on the table, and also some other, like, you know, not back to the original place. Those small things, dear sisters, when we are the helpers to, you know, be in the house, and I don't know how you react, and many times we are okay, oh, amen. But sometimes, or maybe more and more times, I feel like, why? Can't you do this? Can't you just put it back? And that moment, I was reminded Thursday morning, oh, I lost my grace, the grace from the Lord. Small things can drag me away easily and quickly. But there is a way for me to turn back. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, yes, you are not only the grace in the big things, and you also supply me in every small thing like this. I'm a helper. I should do the job. Okay, not in the place. I put it back. Not washed. I can wash it. I just happily and, you know, gladly receive this as a grace from the Lord. And that will be what here it says. Then there always be one man or few people who found grace in the eyes of God, who became the ones who turned the age. If I'm not turning the age in the long term, but I turn the day.
Amen.
I turn that day because I enjoy the grace from God.
Amen.
But Noah found favor in the sight of Jehovah. We can find favor in the sight of Jehovah every day.
Amen.
Everything. Amen.
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 From this first Roman numeral, really, I like the way how the week started. Although we got into Noah, we saw his, you know, the corrupted situation of mankind. But this first Roman numeral tells us that you know, there's a need for us to receive grace.
Amen.
All right, we're receiving grace day by day, moment by moment.
Amen.
And God has made it so easy, so easy. You know, there was a point where the Lord outside, He was outside of us at one point. But now he's the very spirit within us, supplying us. And it's so easy to come to him. So easy to turn to him. Brother Washman Nee has a hymn about the Lord becoming the spirit.
Right?
And this is 491. I would advise everyone to just read that hymn. If you don't know how to sing it, just read over it and really treasure the Lord as the spirit in us.
Amen.
Spirit in our spirit. And so, practically, we can come to the throne of grace by coming to our spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Right? Whatever situation you're in, there's the need, there's the way to turn. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I need you right now.
Amen.
I need you as grace to me.
Yes.
And so, yeah, this is the need. Day by day, we need to... The Lord wants us to enjoy Him as grace. Don't you want to come to the Lord and receive Him as grace? When you do that, what happens is that eventually this grace is enthroned in you.
Amen.
Right? This grace, you know, we look at the Lord's life, I think our view of it is too short. We're yet to see what the Lord can do in us. But He simply needs our cooperation. He needs the human cooperation.
Amen.
Right? And this is where we come to Noah. Noah was in this dark age. Right? It's corrupted, filled with violence, immorality. So many. God was ready to wipe out humanity.
Amen.
Right? But you have this verse in Genesis 6:8. But Noah.
Amen.
Right? Noah found grace.
Amen.
Found favor in the sight of Jehovah. And so this is how we can live also. In this generation, I think we know that this age is dark. And the darkness is increasing. Right?
Amen.
But how will we live? The Lord said before He comes back, the time on the earth would be like the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. I wish I had more time to speak on this because there's really it's a burden with the younger saints in this matter of the world and the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, I spend a lot of time with the younger saints being at the SST, and this one thing I found common for all the younger saints to overcome is the flesh. Right? But the answer is so easy. Right? Grace came because of the flesh. In every situation, the lack is not finding grace. Right? There's a verse in Hebrews 4:16 that encourages us. Come forward.
Amen.
Right? Come forward with boldness.
Amen.
To the throne of grace.
Amen.
Right? When you find grace, you're able to reign over all these negative things.
Yes.
Right? And so I encourage the young people to come to the Lord. Day by day, moment by moment. Especially in the Word. Right? That verse in Hebrews 4:16, he mentions a few verses before that, the Word of God is living and operative. The Lord can operate in us through His Word. And, I just don't have enough time. But, there's just this burden. Eventually, when we are those who receive grace upon grace, grace is enthroned in us. And we are able to live in this dark age. Amen. And God, and the end result is that God is working on us, right? And we're becoming His masterpiece. Right? Satan has his own masterpiece, as we have read in this week. But God, the church, is His masterpiece.
Amen.
Right? Created in Christ for good works. That's Ephesians
2. Amen.
And so, but the way to become God's masterpiece, right, is to enjoy the Lord as grace.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let me share this first. Sister Virginia asked, what is our next morning revival? I think this is related. So next morning revival is God's economy. face.
Amen.
The reason I think it's important, we come to the conclusion of this week, the whole book of this morning revival. And when I was looking for the title for next week, I just be reminded the Lord said to us, labor, work not for the food that perish, but work for the food that abide unto eternity.
Amen.
How many of you had breakfast this morning? May not everyone, you know? Because I have a very bad, you know, stomach. So for many years, I always have breakfast in order to, you know, not to irritate my stomach. But still, my stomach is still not good. My health is not good. And eventually, I found the currently some medical guideline don't really recommend you need to have breakfast. But that's on the, you know, physical side. For our spiritual life, we really need to have breakfast every morning. We need to enjoy the Word of God. And you know, the next morning revival, there's 8 weeks. And if you have this book, that's great. If you don't, you know, it can be, you can get it from the online version. If you get from Amazon, it's $3.50. And 8 week, every week, if you count the 6 days, it's 46 days. And $3.50, that's $3.50. Every day you spend about 7 cents. Seven cents. Okay. It's much cheaper than your physical breakfast. So I will get into this 7 cents.
Amen.
Because I was very touched of all sharing, maybe I'll follow Brother Vidans. And actually, Ping mentioned this, there's four phrases, right, in can correspond to this four key statement. The spirit of grace.
Amen.
And the living of grace, right? And the multiplication of grace.
Amen.
And the consummation of grace.
Amen.
And they all start from what? Spirit of grace. If we want to experience all of this, we need to know this grace is really in our spirit. So this week we see actually the message used Genesis 6, especially regarding Noah, right? And the reason Noah found grace.
Amen.
Is there's a black background. That's the whole world has become flesh, right? And if we read the book of Galatians, all six chapters, we can clearly see, especially from the second chapter and third chapter, the flesh is opposed what? Spirit. So at the end of the book of Galatians, Paul say to all the saints that the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirits, brothers. Amen. So, in order for us in this dark age, right, everything seems is flesh. The only way for us to fulfill God's economy is we need to exercise in this spirit. This morning I do have such a feeling. There's a verse in day six. I think some sense read earlier. I'll just read part of it. It's about Noah.
Amen.
He prepared an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemned the world. He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I think yesterday when I was reading this, enjoy this, actually this word, condemn. How about? No. Condemn. How the Noah condemned the world? No, we all know in this age, it's very similar to the age of Noah. And we know it's crooked, perverted, right? And we very often we say that. But our criticize of the world is not really condemned the world. Here, if we read this verse, we know how Noah condemned the world. Actually, it's by preparing an ark. That means today, how can we condemn this world? To end this world is by rebuilding the ark.
Yeah.
Building the organic body of Christ.
Amen.
And how we can build the organic body of Christ is by exercise to live in our spirit.
Amen.
From the morning to the whole day. Right? The second phrase is about our living. The total living of grace that will achieve this consummation. Will achieve the multiplication of grace and will achieve the consummation of grace. That's the purpose the Lord graces us. And I also want to put up this regarding our service. I think the Lord gave us such an opportunity to serve together. And how is our service? If our service is according to our flesh, then we are not really building the body of Christ. But if we come together, we treasure this opportunity when the Lord grants us opportunity to serve in the body with one another, we exercise to serve and to coordinate in our spirit. Actually, that's the process. We are building the body of Christ.
Amen.
And this is the way we'll condemn this world. And this is the way we'll welcome God's return. Again, at the end, I would repeat this, Galatians 6:18. Brothers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be with you, brothers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for your word.
Amen.
Lord, we want to like Noah that we can find grace in you.
Amen.
We can find grace. Oh, we can experience this grace.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We want to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, through spirit we can enjoy you as our grace.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, Amen. Lord, we have suffering.
Amen.
Oh, we have limitations.
Amen.
We have weaknesses.
Amen.
But Lord, we can enjoy grace more.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We can this coming week to you.
Amen.
Oh, may all of us enjoy your grace.
Amen.
Enjoy you as our grace.
Amen.
Grace upon grace.
Amen.
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 Oh, thank you, encourage.
Amen.
You should come forward.
Amen.
With boldness to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Oh, come to our spirit.
Amen.
You may receive the mercy.
Amen.
And found the grace.
Amen.
Oh, Noah found the grace.
Amen.
We want found the grace too.
Amen.
Oh, we will exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are grace.
Amen.
Thank you. There is a throne of grace.
Amen.
Lord, the way is open.
Amen.
Lord, we come forward boldly.
Amen.
This week, may we find receive mercy and find grace.
Amen.
Oh, for timely help.
Amen.
Oh, not merely for our enjoyment.
Amen.
But so we would have a total living in grace.
Amen.
And for your economy to be carried out through us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.